This is Bob Soucy. The Doug Flutie Jr. Foundation for Autism is proud to be the presenting sponsor of the Boston Marathon's Adaptive Program for Runners, creating opportunities for runners with autism and other disabilities to participate in the legendary Boston Marathon. As a runner myself representing the Flutie Foundation at the 2022 Boston Marathon, I'm proud to have been a teammate to many amazing Adaptive Program runners, achieving their dreams at the greatest race in the world. The Flutie Foundation promotes inclusion for all to help everyone achieve their running dreams in Boston and beyond. Visit FlutieFoundation.org to get involved.
These guys know how to connect with you about Boston sports.
Call and give us your take and then get off the phone.
Kelger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
You know Boston sports fans are going to have two TVs, you know, the one Red Sox game right there and the Patriots game right there. So, and you know, probably halftime of our game, the Red Sox game will be up or something. So, I mean, you got to give them credit. Our fans, those Boston fans, New England fans, I mean, they're diehard fans, not just for football, but for every sport around here. So, you know, they'll find a way to watch both.
The two TV thing. I mean, really. I haven't done it, which is a disgrace.
You should be ashamed of yourself.
A disgrace that Maz hasn't done it. Again, all the money you make and the amount of games that you have to watch.
Are you turning this on me now, huh?
And you haven't spent a couple hundred extra bucks to have an AV guy come in and just mount a second TV next to the other one?
I don't have the wall space.
You should see some of the setups I've been getting tweeted, too, because, again, you guys really aren't on social media, or Maz uses Twitter just, like, posts something and runs. But some of the stuff that I've seen have been pretty impressive, so there's really no reason for you guys not to have a setup like this.
I know, again, especially when you consider our stature. And you just, again, especially the money Maz makes and just who we are and what we do for a living, it's a disgrace. Over the years, we've done this where there's been a night where there's been a Bruins and a Celtics playoff game, and we'll say, Maz, you got the Celtics, I got the Bruins, and we'll do book reports the next day. Which is, are you kidding? For, again, someone like Maz, with his status in this community, you haven't brought an AV guy to just give you a second TV on the wall?
Oh, no, my wife wouldn't let me.
Is that true?
No, of course she wouldn't have if I dug my heels in. I don't need the second TV. I got a big computer monitor on my desk. I kick my feet up there. I put the game on the TV, another one on the computer, and then I sit
it's
there.
It's not
and
the same. It's not the same, and I've done it all year. Trust me, I've caught up with all the effing apps and streaming. I've watched the whole Brewers season on this stupid phone. I've watched 100 Brewer games on this freaking thing, so I'm used to that. I can do that, but it's like...
No,
I don't
want to go big time.
So what? I mean, I'm going to have a big TV up on my wall and I'm going to go like this for 3 hours?
Yeah, that's pretty much what I do. Or, you know, you just DVR it and catch up with it in the morning. What? I have to watch everything
No. That's because you know what? Because let's be honest, and I'm talking to every talk show host out there. I'll tape it and DVR it and watch it in the morning. How often do you really do it? Be honest.
Well, I do.
Oh, stop
it's
it.
It's easier to skim.
You don't. You blow it off, and you catch up, and you read up, and you maybe watch a few clips online, and say, and then get just watch what you need to watch, and then you come in. Who's kidding who? And if you are watching on DVR, you've got it on the X1 or X2. You watch it in fast speed. Which what are you seeing there?
Yeah, the best.
No, but that's the only way to watch baseball. Really, it is.
Right.
So give me a break. And you know what? I don't want to watch the Patriots Chiefs on DVR or Red Sox playoff game on DVR.
No, you want to experience it.
Yes. And there's so much effing downtime in both of these games, you know, whether it's just in between pitches and the baseball, I can watch a whole drive on football. But I mean, you know what I mean? All those commercial breaks and like you could easily do it.
Don't you have a tablet or a computer?
I do, but it's not the same. I don't.
It's better than your phone, which is the size of a freaking paperclip.
No, I get it. And I got all the emails too. All the AV guys now that want to, they say they'll come out to the house this weekend. I got to give my guy the first crack.
Endorsement.
I got to give my guy the first crack, but is he going to, if I call him tonight on Friday, is he going to show up tomorrow?
Yeah, this is Felger from Mox TV. They came and put the second one in my house, and you should see it. It's awesome. Check it out at moxtv.com.
I mean, it's really not, you know, this isn't an economic thing. It's like TVs on the scale of everything are really not that expensive. You know?
No, they're not.
I mean, you can get a good TV for $500.
Yeah,
right?
Like TVs and microwaves, cheap.
Yeah, cheap.
DVR players, too, wicked cheap.
Relatively speaking. You know, so it's not that. It's the manpower to come out and wire all the crap because my house is kind of wired. Like he's got it snake stuff.
Oh, no, I'm sure.
There's some snaking going on.
Oh, no, I bet. I bet you got all kinds of wires in your house.
So
there's a lot of wires with walls that long and big.
But Kronk's right. The two TV thing, the thing of flipping back and forth, that's what I do now. And I end up seeing nothing. I end up being like...
Flipping back and forth doesn't work.
Never works. It pisses me off. It's like, did you see when he did that? No, I missed it. Did you see when that guy did it? No, I missed it. I tried to watch both, and I don't remember a single thing. I never saw a single thing. I get a headache with the previous button because there's a little pause there. Like, can you just get me back to the channel quickly? And it's not. Like, the whole thing drives me bananas.
That's why you got to use the voice feature much faster.
Really? Does it go between them on the voice?
Yeah, because with the last, I don't know how yours works, but when you hit last, it then gives you like five
yes,
options.
Yes, I don't want to see what I saw last week. Yeah. Just give me the last channel.
Exactly. So you just hit that little microphone and say the channel number and boom, there you go. Gone.
Yeah,
done.
I've started to do the voice thing.
See?
No, but not to go back and forth. Not for speed. You're telling me that thing's built for speed?
It's faster than doing the last button.
It is.
Yeah.
Okay. So, but the real answer.
Save you 2 or 3 seconds.
The real answer is not to putz around with this thing. It's just to spend a few $100 and get an extra TV. Because a man of my stature should have a second TV next to that one in my office so I can watch two games at once. That's the bottom line.
Man of your stature.
And it's pissing me off, seriously.
A man status.
Of my status. If I don't have two TVs in my office, who does? If I don't have that, no one should, unless you're a degenerate gambler. Lifshat, I should call Lifshat, see what he's got.
I bet you the big O has two TVs.
Oh, that hurts. Now you really know what to do and how to get me. All right, so anyway, there's that. But Gronk's right. I'm going to have two TVs. We're going to have to figure that out on Sunday night, all of us. Mike and Traffic, so it's a gender-free Friday. Everything's on the table. So Mike and Traffic has something on the Celtics and Kyrie Irving. What is it, Mike?
Vegas odds today say that Kyrie, 66% chance Kyrie's traded before the trade deadline. I want to know if you think there's something that they know.
Holy crap, 66%?
66% chance he's traded before the deadline. What do they know, and what would you put the odds at?
I'm putting it at zero, because I'm taking him at his word. I'm taking them all at their word. I'm not going to sit here and say that Kyrie Irving would do a whole media tour, you know, for 3 days saying he's re-signing here and he wants to be here, and then say that he's lying to my face. And I wouldn't sit here with Wick Grosbeck, the owner, you know, 2 feet from me, where he says, we trust what Kyrie's saying. We're very excited. He wants to be in here in the future, and his number goes up in the rafters, and think that he's blatantly lying to me. I'm not going to go there.
I can't imagine that the whole thing is some sort of ruse to just take the pressure off.
Like, right? Come on.
I mean, you wouldn't go so far as to have him announce it in front of a season ticket fan base.
What, Jimmy? What?
It just means that the rest of the NBA doesn't believe the Celtics and Kyrie Irving. That's what these odds mean to me.
So, fair enough. I do. It's just too, like, I understand these guys have to lie in sports, fibbing, and, like, all that. Like, but then there's that, and then there's what those guys did last week.
I mean, again, the season ticket
event, good point,
to me, is the one that sticks out. There's no way you have that guy go out before in front of your fan base to do that.
No, you're just important paying customers.
Yeah, no way. No way you do that. No way. You might do the media campaign and all the other stuff, but not the season ticket fan base.
So I'll take that action. You want to give me 66 cents on the dollar or whatever to staying or going? I'll take that action. He's staying. I'm taking them at their word for once. Brody in Maine with a football thought. Go ahead, Brody.
First off, that previous conversation about the TV was very illuminating. We found out that Maz likes it built for speed and not comfort.
Brody, we don't do jokes. What's your sports take?
So, Mike, did you see the Giants game last night?
No, not a second. I even forgot it was on.
Well, just looking at the box score sort of proves your point that spending first-round draft capital on a running back is stupid. Saquon Barkley ran for 130, a touchdown, and caught it for 99 yards, and the Giants still lost 34-13. You know, they should have invested in that line or the quarterback position.
God bless you, Brody. If I had two TVs, I would have been able to catch up with both. So there you go. There's another instance of it because I was watching the bees. But, perfect example. Oh, wee! And I haven't even caught up on the highlights because I don't care to. You know, apparently Barkley was insane last night.
He was a dynamite.
Real special plays.
He hit the B button. Oh, it's like a video game. Like, wee, neat. Who cares? He's a running back. It doesn't make a difference. I don't care how good he is. He doesn't bridge the gap against teams with quarterbacks. It just doesn't. And I don't know how many teams have to get hit over the head with this before they realize. But if the other team's got a quarterback and you got a running back, you are porked. It's over.
I mean, look, last night was evidence of Hell Murray, even you admitted at the beginning of the show today.
Yeah. No, they made...
Barkley, well, he was dynamic in that game. He was, and they got their asses kicked.
Look, Barkley would be great here or anywhere else where there's already an established quarterback, but the thing is Eli Manning, he's done. He's cooked. They made the mistake. They should have drafted a quarterback. They should have drafted one for the future. They thought Eli could still play, and it's evident that he cannot.
I mean, especially with all the guys that have come out here in the last couple of years that the Giants still don't have one. I guess they have LaLetta, right, if you count him?
I don't.
For crying out loud. What was he, a fourth-round pick or something
Webb,
like that?
The other guy behind him.
But like, you know, you look at that and you say, with all these guys that have been taken, the Giants still really don't have one. They still really don't. And now they're going to have to take a quarterback high in the next draft. And then, so they're already two, 3 years behind as it is. How many more years are going to be before that guy comes along? Although it is easier to play the position than it ever has been.
Still.
Idiots.
Ah, you got to be kidding me. Running backs are role players. So this is where Barkley's sort of in a, I'll take your word for it, that he's the greatest thing since sliced bread. Fine, he's Barry Sanders. Great. So that means you have to give him the ball? And you got to focus on him in the offense? And you got to feature him in the offense? You're in trouble, man. If you got to feature a running back and that's the driver of your offense, it ain't going to work. It ain't going to work at the highest of levels. I mean, you'll win some regular season games, and the fantasy players will be happy. But if that's the driver of your offense, forget about it. It's got to be the passing game. We continue with your calls on Agenda Free Friday right after this.
Felger and Maz, the Sports Hub. Felger and Maz.
Wow.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Hello, Oscar, my old friend. This town is after me again. All those beat guys who are mean tweeting, and all those radio jerks who keep teasing. A bad decision is truly what I have made, but I got paid. Oh, how I wish I hadn't come to Boston.
Swung on and ripped to deep left field. That ball is going to be off the wall. Torres scores. It's a ribby single off the wall by McCutchen. The Yankees take a 3-0 lead.
And this is ugly as David Price leaves here, the booing here.
You know, my spirits are down. My confidence isn't down. You know, I'm looking forward to getting back out there and getting another opportunity.
I trust the guy.
That's the last we heard from David Price. Saturday night against New York, yanked early. And Price says he still believes in himself. Cora, that was the cut from yesterday. I trust the guy. No, you don't.
I trust the guy.
I mean, I don't blame you for saying it. Gotta say it.
I trust the guy.
I get it. I don't believe you. I don't believe you.
I trust the guy.
Nope. He trusts the matchup. He trusts the fact that David Price in his career has had, in his Red Sox career has had a very good goal of it against this Houston team. That's what he trusts. So he trusts their methodology. They've been matchup dependent through this postseason, and he's going to stick with that.
Right.
And he trusts the process. You trust the process, Alex. Fair enough.
Just remember that, like, this whole idea that, you know, David Price can break through, which he can, but the odds of it. Dave Dombrowski fed us all the same stuff when they signed him. And then after the first October, he went out and got Chris Sale. Right? So, like, I think that internally they've resigned themselves to the reality that it might very well not happen. So, you know what? They're going to, now, whatever it is, Cora said, well, if I'm going to start him anywhere, it's going to be game two. That's where we're going to do it. If Price pitches poorly, you think he gets a ball again?
No.
I don't.
I didn't think he'd get it this time.
Well, yeah, start of a new series, like, I can see it. But if he has a bad game against him, he doesn't send him back out there. I doubt it.
So again, I don't think this is about personal trust level. It's not. He just said it. And it's the fine thing to say, no problem. But I think it's about everything else. So here's Alex Cora yesterday explaining the methodology behind going with David Price here in Game 2.
I saw him last year. I think it was Father's Day. He pitched against Houston in Houston, and he pitched well. I saw him in the playoffs against the Astros. He pitched well. This year, he pitched in Houston that Saturday, pitched well against them, and he pitched here against the Astros and pitched well again. I know how good he is. I know he's been he's pitched well against them, and I trust the guy.
All right, so I would stop before that last line. Just go with the matchups. Just go with the matchups, as Ian Brown pointed out and others have pointed out. Since joining the Red Sox in 2016, Price is 3-0 with a 2-4-3 in 8 appearances against the Astros. So it's a decent sample size.
I trust the guy.
All right, including 2 dominant relief performances in last year's playoffs when Cora was sitting there watching it as the bench coach for Houston. Over those 8 appearances, Price has an 11.34 strikeouts per 9 number. Excellent. And the Astros have a 5.99 OPS. To hold that lineup to under 600 OPS is excellent. So you trust the matchup. There's no possible way that you could trust the man. No possible way.
I trust the guy.
But that line that we keep pounding will be used on Monday in one fashion or another, which is to say either Alex Cora is a genius, he trusted him when no one else would, or Cora, you idiot, how can you possibly trust that guy?
Yeah, I think they're making a mistake, but we'll see come tomorrow.
What's your
Sunday.
Murray, what's your prediction?
Oh, it's going to look like not as bad as last Saturday, but it's going to look like how it did in Cleveland. It'll be like 3 innings to the tune of 5 runs, 3 1/3, something like that. He'll get smashed, he'll get rightfully booed, and that'll be the end. He ain't winning. He ain't. I don't care how many buttons that Alex Cora has pushed correctly, how many levers, and how hot he is. He could go play Mega Millions tonight and win the damn thing. He ain't going to be right on
David
Price.
Hold on. Let's draw the line, because we need to figure out what's right and what's wrong on Price. What's a good outing, what's not? Do you want to just simply say team win?
No.
Unless it's extenuating circumstances. Price gets them down 8-1 and they mount an 8-run comeback. That doesn't count, all right? I mean, so we'll eliminate that. Price pitches 8 scoreless innings, and Kimbrel gives up a solo home run in the 9th, and they lose 1-0. I won't hold that against them.
Like, sure.
You know, we can logically take out the extreme cases.
Okay. Sure.
But otherwise,
on average,
team win. If they win, he wins. If they lose, he loses.
No. We have to see how it plays out.
All right, then fine. You tell Vine, come up with something else. Quality start, 6 innings, 3 runs?
I'm not sure he's going to make 6.
So you tell me. So if he has a quote-unquote quality start, 6 innings, 3 runs, he's done the job. Cora was right.
I would say yes with that.
I mean, I just need to know what the line is, so on Monday I can show up and say they were right or they were wrong.
If he goes 6 innings,
I don't want something in the middle. There's right or wrong.
If he goes 6 innings and gives up 3 runs with that against that lineup, good enough.
Okay, so that's it.
Yeah,
agreed. Fine.
Now I hate the quality stats.
Me
chart,
too.
But nonetheless,
so weak.
Given his past, for him that would be a quality start. So like that one would fall in his favor.
Well,
six innings and 3 runs would be a huge win.
Say they're down 3-1 until the bottom of the ninth, but they somehow come back and win the game 4-3. No, not good enough. You had to be better.
Quality start.
No,
I think that's fair, but I could just see it being like he's held them to 1 run. They're up 3-1 with 2 outs in the 5th inning. And he gives up a 2-run home run for it to be 3-3. Then he gets the last out and they pull him. He's got a quality start, but he still hasn't, you know. Like, that would annoy me because that would be somewhere in the middle. But I'm not going to accept middle. We've got to come up with what's the baseline to say that they were right or they were wrong to start him in this game. So quality start, fine.
You know crap when you see it and smell it. And as good as he was post-All-Star break, the expectation should be that high. Again, I got mocked yesterday for having low expectations with this team and them already achieving a good season. So now all of a sudden we're going to make excuses for this guy?
I mean, the only Sox starter to go 6 in the playoffs so far is Eovaldi. Nobody's made it past like 5 1/3. For crying out loud. So 6 would be a huge get for him. If it's 5 innings and 2 runs, I think I'd give him the nod for crying out loud. Isn't that pathetic?
5 innings, 2 runs?
Yeah.
I might too.
And I'm the soft one.
I'll know it when I... Well, the standards for this guy are
Yeah,
low,
no,
Mark.
But see, I don't want that because then I don't want to show up on Monday and go, yeah, on the one hand on this, on the other hand on that. No. We deal in black and white, yes or no, right or wrong, win or loss. And so we've got to have that line. I need that line.
Clearly.
It's much more interesting with the line. It just is. So we have the line, quality start. Fair enough. Here's Paul in Hudson on David Price. Hi, Paul.
Hey, what's going on, guys? I was thinking, maybe this is me overthinking a little bit, but maybe having David Price pitch game 2 is almost self-preservation. Because, like, What happens if they go down, you know, 3-0 and then he has to pitch game four there? Like, to me, that's an automatic loss. Like, I don't trust Price in that big of a spot. Like, I was just wondering what you guys might think.
So I hear what you're saying, but you can play that game all day long.
And they can also change when they get there.
But that's not it. It's like, well, you're placing him where he can do the least damage. I don't know, going down 0-2, if you lose game one, you lose game two at home.
Going to Houston, you're toast.
I think it's over. So, like, I don't think that's why they're doing it. They're doing it because he matches up well with Houston, so they don't mind putting him at the front of the rotation to give him another crack at him, because I think he's going to succeed against them like he always has, so he'll do it twice. They want him in Fenway, not Houston, because Houston's left field is even dumber than yours. And I think it's the bullpen thing. The bullpen should be rested from the Sale start the day before, and they have an off day the next day. So if he does crap the bed and they've got to burn the bullpen, it's a perfect spot for it. I think that's why they're doing it. But number one is the matchup. He has great numbers against Houston.
Yeah, look, they like the way he's pitched against him in the past. And that can, I mean, look, a lot of times that holds true. Like a guy's in a team's head, or for whatever reason, they just don't line up right and they have trouble picking something up off him. Or, you know, maybe they're a team that looks in all the time, and if he throws that cutter on the outside corner, it works to his favor. Who the hell knows? So clearly, if he had pitched badly against them in the past, he wouldn't be going game two. I mean, I think that's a given.
Okay, we've got Steve in Providence on the Bruins. Hi, Steve.
Hey, what's up, guys? I just wanted to touch on a couple quick things. Murray, I appreciate you coming around on the Red Sox saying that you were wrong. I was on the same boat, dude. I didn't believe in him, so I'm just as surprised. Maz, I want to say I 100% agree with you with Mookie. I remember I called a day ago or a couple days ago, and I'm glad that you're finally starting to talk about it, because, you know, even though he's a MVP candidate, doesn't mean he gets to not show up and everything's A-okay. And as far as my man Felger goes, I think we found our new goalie in Halak. That's my reason for calling. I love Tuca, but when it's time to go, it's time to go. So okay, that's all I got. Thanks.
This is dumb, but I'm going to do it. Playoff started tonight. Who's your guy?
Halak. Probably Halak, yeah.
I mean,
he's played better.
Oh, he's played better. It's only been 5 games, but Rask was an utter disaster his first game. He won his second, and I didn't see it. I saw very little of it.
No, this game against Ottawa on Monday.
Didn't he let up a
couple of softies?
Didn't he let up a complete bow wow?
Yeah, one was brutal.
Like a 40-foot shot from the half wall. Like, he's still giving up bad goals. Halak's been pretty solid. He got a little luck last night, but he was still very solid.
Blah, you can't have the $7 million a year goalie on the bench of the playoffs. Blah.
So let's
use your eyes.
I do find it interesting that,
I mean, so Halak's save percentage is .961. Tuca's .840.
I mean, so like, it's not even, if that's what the numbers are after game 82, you can't. Like,
oh no, that's not even, that won't even be close. Right? If they get that far,
you would have to go with Halak.
I mean, they're 2-0 when Halak starts.
I mean, it's a long, 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 long way to go. I'm just saying, if it plays out like this. What I do find interesting, though, is that they've gone with the straight split to start. It's not like I get Halak in game two because that was back-to-back. Fine. But that's not what's going on here. That start that Halak got last night, I think, is telling that it's not, you know, Khudobin came in when they needed to bail out Tuca at the beginning of the year last year. That's not what's going on right now.
No, and not only was it not back-to-back, the game was on Monday. Like, they had 2 days off in between.
And I think they have 2 or 3 days off until their next one. They don't play till like Wednesday. They play tomorrow. So they had 1 day off until tomorrow.
And then they go on the road.
And then go on the road. Rask is getting the weekend's game. I don't know. It's just something to keep an eye on.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mass on 98.5. The Sports Hub.
Oh, I like this.
This is Felger and Mass.
Part of me wants to do it just to feel what that feels like.
98.5. The Sports Hub.
The Sports Hub. The Sports Hub. The Sports Hub.
They're talented, man. They're very good. I have an idea. I don't know if he's going to work. That doesn't guarantee if it's going to work. You know, everybody's like, oh, Alex knows them. Alex knows them. I'm like, yeah, but they're still good players. You know, they're pretty good. We'll talk and we'll do our thing. You know, not because we're playing the Astros. Now we're going to play different. We like to play fast, put pressure on people. I don't know. Hopefully I learned something from them that is going to make a difference in one of the 4 games that we want to win. So if that happens, well, being familiar with them really helped. But it doesn't guarantee anything.
Oh, I like it.
So that's the other fascinating thing to me with Cora, man. I said yesterday, he's really set up to be the hero. If Price was the right call, he's going to get all the credit for that. If he trusted him when no one else would, it's going to look good for the manager. And if we see some little inside knowledge coming through here, Mass, and you know he's got to have some, No, he's got to have some.
I mean, to me, that's the stuff that, and I always go to the stuff that's not on paper, because the matchup numbers, we all know, right? Or they all know, even if they have data that we don't, they can share with the entire staff. But Cora knows how some of these guys tick. He knows how they're wired, how they'll react in certain situations. He can predict it. So if you can get under a guy's skin by doing something, then do it. Right? Do it. If it means running on a pitcher or bunting on a pitcher, whatever it is, you do it. Use any advantage you can in these games.
How about chirping?
Sure, why not?
You know who was fooling around with who and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, why not? I mean, I'd let someone else chirp for me. Like, I'd arm someone. Like, you know, if Brock Holt's going to be the one who's chirping and is a pain in the ass, then give him this piece of information. And you say, yeah, when this guy gets on base, tell him you heard this about his wife.
Like Paul Newman in Slapshot. It just would be like one example.
Exactly. Yeah. Hanrahan.
So, I mean, like, even like that. Like, I think that stuff.
Sure, it's game. It's in play.
It plays.
Yeah, that gets into the whole, you know, Kevin Garnett, Honey Nut Cheerios thing with Carmelo. Right? Like, I can say that, right? I'm totally.
No, yeah, that's fine.
So, but it's that kind of stuff. Sure, why not? If you're going to get under someone's skin, do it.
Suzanne! I know! Yeah, one of the greats of all time. Jim in Connecticut, what do you got for us on the Sox?
I'm still laughing. At second base, I think they should start Brock Holt. The reason being is because you want to get in front first. You know, it's easier for pitcher and everybody else. And he's a better offensive player. I understand he's not as good as the other guy on defense, but what you really want at the beginning of a game is the lead.
Okay, but Jim, you understand. I mean, I hear you, but you understand what they're going to do. They're going to say, what's Holt career versus Verlander? What's Kinsler versus Verlander career? How does Verlander fare against lefties at Fenway Park? How does he fare against righties at Fenway Park? They're going to take all that stuff, put that into their mixer, and that's how they're going to make their decision. Not the stuff you're talking about.
So I just looked it up. Brock Holt's 3-for-10, 300. Ian Kinsler, 6-for-38, 158, 7 strikeouts.
Say hello to the Brock star.
Absolutely.
It's not even close.
I mean, that's what I think. You know, I think he'll be the guy that plays. And look, Nunez looks like he hits Verlander, so maybe Devers sits that day. And I don't know what Nunez's knee is like. There are other variables there.
You don't think they'd defer to the left-right thing?
I don't know. I mean, again, the I don't know Verlander's splits, but I'd be willing to – I'll look them up. But I'm willing to bet that Verlander's pretty even against both sides.
But that's how they're making their decisions. And it's worked really well so far. It has.
Verlander's held lefties to 177, righties to 219.
Wow, interesting.
So they're both – it's because of that big curveball.
It's a reverse, a little bit of reverse thing there. Andrew in the car. What do you got, Andrew?
Boys, you don't need two TVs. Listen, your takes are hot all the time. Have you ever been to a sports bar and tried to watch 7 college football games or 7 1 o'clock games at the same time? You can't do it.
I agree.
The red zone. No. That's for fantasy football players. You can go on NFL Network and speed through a game with no commercials.
That's not the point. That's not the point. I don't want to do that. I don't want to watch it on replay. That's no. I want to watch them live. And I agree. You get a headache in a sports bar trying to watch all that stuff. How about just a baseball game and a football game together? That is different. The pacing's different. Everything's different. I think you can do it. And
I think it can be done.
Go ahead. No, you go.
I'm going to have the baseball game on the big TV. Because obviously it's the Red Sox. If it weren't the Red Sox, I wouldn't give a rat's ass. I'll put the Patriots on my iPad or on my computer, and I'll turn the volume down. And when I need to crank it up to hear Collinsworth and Michaels, I will. But to me, it's easier to sort of keep tabs on a football game without audio than baseball.
I've already put the call out to my guy. We'll see how good he is.
You're going to put the second TV up this weekend?
See if I can get someone out Saturday or Sunday.
Did you already buy the TV? Do you already have it?
I can move a TV from downstairs or not, but that we discussed, like, that's not the big issue. TVs are good value. They're, you know, you get a really good TV for a decent price. Like, that's not the cost. The cost is the wiring and tapping into my already extensive system, which, again, is so embarrassing that I just never went 2-in-1 room. Because the number of times I've tried to A-B the thing, and it just never, ever works. Never works. And you said you don't care about I got a thing with the Brewers. So there are going to be some Brewer conflicts where I got to have them on too with whatever. And so, well, there you go. And it's also a way to bridge the gap between the hockey and the basketball people. Because I really do feel you're either one or the other. Really. But I don't know. If you put them on together, you know, you sort of bring them together, come together and have it at once. Maybe that can bridge the gap there between the hockey people and the basketball people.
You extend your hand across the aisle.
Black and
you believe
white
in bipartisanship?
We shall overcome someday. Fred in Springfield. Go ahead, Fred.
Hey, buddy. How you doing?
Good.
Yeah, well, we got by country Angel Hernandez, and we got country Joe West, and we also have country Chris Guccione on his shift.
I think that he said a bad word there.
No, I don't think he did.
He said ship?
Shift.
Shift. Shift. Sorry, go ahead.
Shift.
Yep.
Well, on the crew, I'm sorry.
So, I'm sorry. I sort of lost. Do we have Joe West?
Yep, Joe West is is the crew chief on this
crew. West is the crew chief.
So, I don't mind Joe West. Because you know why, Fred? I think Joe's a competent umpire.
Well, I have to admit, he's gotten better.
Well, so, I mean, his problem is that he's just a big, fat, know-it-all.
Yeah, that's
you know,
right.
Piece of annoying crap. But when he just cuts the crap and calls the game, he's not. Angel Hernandez
is horrendous.
Can't see or something.
Yeah, no, that's right. He can't make judgments.
He has some sort of problem. Joe West just lets his ego get in the way.
Correct.
But when he leaves that at the door, I've always felt like he's competent.
Like, I would say that generally about most of them, that once they get their ego out of the way, they're all right. I mean, they're not going to hit 100 out of 100. Who does, for crying out loud? Hernandez, though, he's
different.
Horrible.
Different.
I mean, he's horrible. Like, he doesn't even come close, for crying out loud, on a lot of those.
I'm glad Joe West, because I'm always entertained by him. The time a game's going to suffer as he waddles over to the headset to do the replays. That guy.
And he'll waddle.
Tub of goo. Everything's on his time. But I do love how casual he is about the biggest calls. Like, you ever notice that? Like, there'll be a, you know, ninth inning, tie game, a screamer down the left field line, fair foul, and Joe goes, you know what I mean? Or he'll he's just like I can't be bothered to make this call. With like the game on the line.
Right. Cannot lift my hands above my ears. Stop there.
I don't mind Joe West. Long commercial free segment is next here on Agenda Free Friday.
This is Felger and Mass
on 98.5,
the Sports Hub.
Making sense of Boston sports.
There's no catching and no throwing. Anyone can play, no matter how hopelessly unathletic they are.
Felger and Mass, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Don't you feel like you're playing for the top seed? In the AFC with this game, that the stakes are that
I feel like we're playing Kansas City.
Does it seem like a higher stakes game?
Feels like we're playing Kansas City.
All right, so Bill didn't want to talk about the ramifications of the game. But I think the ramifications of the game are pretty big. Basically, I'll give you the bottom line. If the Pats lose it, I don't think they host the AFC Championship game. At least if it's against Kansas City, which, you know, no guarantee that it will be Kansas City, because Kansas City feels like just that kind of team that chokes at home in the divisional round, don't they?
Yep.
Sure have in the past. I mean, that's the Kansas City I've come to know and love. That's the Andy Reid I've come to know and love. Win 13, 14 games in a regular season, have a home divisional game against a layup tomato can, and then gag.
Like Tennessee.
No, he doesn't have to be there. That's the history of that franchise.
Right, isn't it? So, no guarantee. But if you think that the quarterback changes everything, that they'll take care of business at home against some AFC tomato can, then you're traveling on the road to Kansas City for the AFC Championship game if you get that far. If you lose this game, they will be three games ahead of you with the tiebreaker, which means they're effectively four games ahead of you, which means they'd have to lose four and you'd have to run the table, and I don't know. I don't know what the odds there are. Kansas City's got some lambs coming up. They've had a pretty tough schedule so far.
They have.
KC has already faced Jacksonville, Pittsburgh, gone to Denver.
Yeah. And they played the Chargers, too, who are pretty good. They're not great, but they're pretty good.
Right.
It was at
it
LA.
It was in LA.
In LA. So I don't have their schedule in front of me, but I bet it's going to even out there coming up. You have some lambs, I'm sure. So you lose this one, forget about it. Arrowhead Stadium, AFC Championship game. So that's big. That's big. Now, even if you win, you have some work to do. But I think that if you pop their balloon a little bit, puncture them, they'll be ripe for the usual Andy Reid fade.
Oh, that's what I think. I mean, look, the Kansas City's loaded with talent on offense. I don't know if they have enough players on defense to win it. But you know what? We'll figure that out, I guess, if and when Eric Berry ever gets back. Maybe that'll change the nature of their defense a little.
They actually have a handful of difficult games, I mean, on paper. But they got to play the Rams. The Ravens have been better.
Bengals.
Browns have been better. Yeah, Bengals.
Well, they have a tough schedule.
Yeah.
But anyway,
the real iron of it, though, was at the beginning. I mean, the fact that they're still 5-0 is a credit to them because they played some good teams. Their other win was San Francisco. That was that the game Garoppolo got hurt?
Yes.
Yes, it was.
Yeah.
So, like, okay, even if they have a hard schedule, 10 games left, 4 games to cover.
Sure.
I don't think that happens.
No. The Patriots got to win this game.
So, those are the ramifications. Bill didn't want to talk about it, but there they are. We've got Joe and Peabody on that. Go ahead, Joe.
Hey, what's going on, guys? Show this week. So, absolutely, Maz. Yeah, I had to change my underoos Tuesday night. So, as far as Mahomes, I just really think that I've been watching the film on this kid. He's really good and really underrated. He can really extend those plays, and he looks these defenders right in the eye, extends them, and then keeps extending them. They're going to have an issue with him. I just want to know what you guys think.
Okay.
Have a good day.
So, like, that's another thing I think they can take away. I've heard these guys, I think in the midday they were talking about it. Mahomes has only completed one scramble play to his left the entire year.
Is that right?
And it might have been the left-handed pass.
Oh, maybe.
In Denver. I mean, that one was absolutely to his left. I mean, really to his left. He put it in his left hand. It was an incredible play. But if those guys are right, that's the only scramble play to his left that he's completed. So, you just be disciplined. You make sure that your left defensive end, or the guy with contain on the left side, the offensive right, is you know, doesn't get sucked in and pushes Mahomes inside. And just that's your job this week. You make sure he does not break contain to the right. I mean, the Patriots can do that sort of stuff.
Yeah, so the only thing I wonder about, though, is are they going to be able to get pressure if they're playing so many guys in coverage and getting held back?
I don't know if there's a pressure game. I don't pressure them.
You're just saying just mush rush and keep them in the pocket.
Yep, I don't worry about pressure. I don't give them the opportunity to start running around. Stay right there. Complete your 5-yard passes down the field. Let's see how patient you are.
See, I think this kid can throw from the pocket, though. Like that's
well, so to me, I'm just picking my poison.
Sure, of course.
I'd rather him throw from the pocket and complete short balls than get out of the pocket and start humming it all over the field.
Absolutely. Yeah, which is what they'll pick, too.
Absolutely.
They will absolutely pick that. And also, at the beginning of the caller said he thinks he's underrated. He's like the most hyped guy in the league right now.
Come on.
Yeah, I don't think he's underrated at all. I think, though, that a lot of the hype with this guy is warranted. Like, to me, he doesn't feel like a guy that's just slinging it all over the field. There's a little bit more to it than that.
Well, so either way, you might be, you know, picking up that I really like the Patriots this week. But you know what that means?
They're going to lose.
Look out below. Absolutely. Paul in Braintree joins us next on David Price. Go ahead, Paul.
Hey, how you doing, guys? First time caller. Long-time fan. So, my expectations for David Price are I just want to see him go out and return his attitude. I don't like the way he carries himself anymore. This is not the way that he was when he was in Tampa Bay. He had a different attitude. He had a little bit of nastiness to him. And we had a guy here for years dominating who was 160 pounds soaking wet. But Veritek, every pitch of every start, needed to be ready to spring into action and go tackle somebody if they need to, because you never knew when Pedro was going to put one in somebody's ear. If David Price has to put one in somebody's ear to get guys to stop lunging out over the plate and hacking at him on the outside as he tries to pitch to the outside of the plate, then put one in someone's ear, man. Where'd the tough guy go? Where did the attitude go?
So,
I just want to see his swag come back.
So let me ask Maz, was he really that guy in Tampa?
No, I mean, not to the point where he's knocking people down to something, but he would pitch in, and he would pitch in hard, and to me, that's what it's about. It's, you know, if you got to knock a guy down, that's one thing. Like, Porcello will do that. But to me, this goes back to what Porcello said. When you pitch against the Yankees, you have to attack them. I think when you're in the playoffs, you have to attack.
If you're expecting that from David Price, like at the snap of a fingers, I doubt it.
No, that's not going to happen. No, but he can pitch in. I mean, that he can do. So I just think that when he's most effective, and look, again, I'd have to go back and look at the Houston games and know whether specifically he was pitching, you know, finesse to them or power. But it struck me that last year in the playoffs, he was airing it out and coming at him. And that's what I would do if I were him. Stop nibbling.
Alan,
stop.
Alan in Florida, what do you think?
Well, first of all, I wanted to, you know, I'm quoting Brent Musburger. Cashing tickets, it's all about. So what I'm trying to say is I don't care if David Price gives up 15 runs. If they score 16, successful day. Winning, winning, winning. Now, I'm just going to tell you, to me, the key to the whole series is obviously the first game. Because I think that the Red Sox have at least an equal chance in Houston with Porcello and Eovaldi against Keuchel, who throws 89 miles an hour, and Morton, who's been hurt. So, you know what? There's no advantage for Houston there. And I'll give Sale. You know, Verlander, this Houston team everyone's making the beat, they lost 11 straight home games at one point during the year. Verlander couldn't win a game at home. I know he's playing on, pitching on the road. Red Sox can hit Verlander. A healthy Sale or a healthy Verlander, I'll take Sale any day of the week.
So you don't think Houston's that good?
I don't either.
No, I'm saying you. So, Alan, you don't think Houston's that good?
So what I think is this. I know spring is great. To me, if you keep Altuve off the bases, and you know what? I pitch him in pretty good. I buzz one by him. And Bregman is fabulous. Well, after the first three, they can be pitched to very easily.
Okay, Bregman to me feels like the guy.
Yeah, well, he's had a monster year. Yeah, and look, he hurt the right. Wasn't it him who homered in the first inning of the first game last year? Like, you know, to me.
And he's also got the toed, like.
Yeah, all of it. I think a lot of them do. I mean, watch them play. They're a confident team. So the 11 straight home losses, Alan, with all due respect, pal, I don't give a rat's ass. It's the playoffs. It's different. And this Houston team is proof. Second year in a row now. Last year, they came out of the gate, blew doors, and won the World Series. Now, granted, the last two went seven. But, you know, they had trouble in New York. Let's not forget that. But that aside, this year, again, people are saying the same thing. They only won 103 games, and then they came out and blistered Cleveland. That team can turn it on. Okay, so the Red Sox are going to have to play their best to beat them, but they can win the series.
You're listening to Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub.